Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Vayelech Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Vayelech, and the topic is the shadow in the future. Our Aliyah is six psukim long, running from Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalad to Yud Tes. Basic summary of the Aliyah. Hashem tells Moshe, "Your days to die are drawing close. Call Yeshua and stand in front of the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, so I can command him." And they stood there waiting, and Hashem appeared in a cloud at the entrance of the Mishkan. He then tells Moshe that Moshe will pass on, and that the people will stray after the gods of the land that they are going to be entering, and abandon Hashem, annulling his covenant. At which point Hashem will grow angry, and Hashem says, "I will hide my face from them, and they will be the food to all types of terrible aggressors in the world." At which point they will then realize it is because Hashem was not with them that all of this happened, and then Hashem will hide, Haster Haster Pana Bayamahu, because of their straying. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's, we'll call it bottom line, what do we do about this, is to write down the song and teach it to Bnei Yisrael, to teach it in their mouths, so it should be that they know that there is a witness. So that's the summary of the Aliyah. A few basic questions. Number one is, did Yehoshua receive prophecy in a lucid state? Usually, a Navi, a prophet, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, had to receive it in some sort of state, whether it be sleeping, dreaming, or a state of a seizure where they really weren't physically operational, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. So how was the Yeshua was receiving prophecy? So the Ramban says actually the receiver of this prophecy is Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is being commanded by Hashem these last wishes, but Yeshua is allowed to listen in. Even so, Hashem appears by the Ohel Moed at the entrance, not in the usual place, which would be where it was with Moshe, which was by the Kodesh HaKadoshim from above the Kapores on the Aaron. So in a certain sense, Yehoshua is being inducted into a higher degree of Nevuah, but not fully the degree of Moshe. Isn't it predetermined that Israel will now sin? So this is a very depressing Aliyah after everything Moshe Rabbeinu said. It barely a parasha that has passed in Devarim where Moshe has not warned them about being influenced by the people of the land. And now Hashem is saying, well, you're going to be influenced by the people of the land. Isn't that incredibly depressing? So, and more than just depressing, it seems that they have no choice. Now Hashem is predetermined they're going to sin, so in a certain sense, they don't really have a choice about this. So the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Vav Halacha Hey describes this particular pasuk, actually, and asks this question. And he says, don't think that it's predetermined, because ultimately, he says, that Hashem never decreed on any individual to stray. He only decreed on the nation of Israel as a whole. And any individual who did stray made that choice and therefore is accountable for that as well. The Rambam gives an example of what this is similar to. He says, Lema zed domer. That's how a person says there's always going to be righteous and evil people in this nation. An evil person can't say, well, I'm a murderer and a thief because there was a decree that there were going to be righteous and bad people in this nation. No, he chose to be bad. This person chose to be good. We're accountable for our personal decisions. The later colleague of the Rambam, the Ravid, Rabbeinu Avraham, says about this Rambam's comment, he says, these are divrei arichus. These are verbose words. And he says, I would almost say divrei nairus. I would even say childish words. Why does he say this? He says, look, if everybody in the nation were to say, well, Hashem, we're not going to sin because we're choosing not to, then this prophecy would not fall upon anybody. So therefore, the prophecy would be invalid. Obviously, somebody has to. So there is a decree that somebody has to sin. So therefore, the question actually is resurrected. Rather, the Ravid explains, the reason why this is not a theological problem is this is not about what's called gezeirah ubechira, which means Hashem's decreeing something to happen, and free will. It is rather yediyah ubechira, that the person, that Hashem has omniscience, he knows what's going to happen, but that doesn't stop us from making choices. That's a incongruous fact in the logic of a human being, but it's not that Hashem is predetermining, he's actually just knowing that it's going to be. Nonetheless, let's move on to the next idea. Another question, is there any hope in this message? I mean, it's incredibly depressing to hear that Israel is going to sin, and especially imagine Moshe Rabbeinu on his last day of his death, after all his achievement, don't worry, everything's going to slide down, the whole company you built is going to, go down into the ground. That's terribly depressing. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually tells us a very beautiful thing, beginning of Perek Chelek at the very end of Sanhedrin. It describes that this aliyah is actually one of the first sources for Tchiyas HaMeisim, for resurrection of the dead. Because if you put the comma in the pasuk in a different place, it reads as follows. Moshe, you're going to sleep with your fathers, which means you're going to be put to the grave. And this nation is going to get up. But you could read it as, you're going to go and lie with your forefathers, your patriarchs, and arise. Which means, in the very depth of depression, in the very depth of all this bad that's going to happen in the future, the as definite as they may be, is as definite as Tchiyas HaMeisim is going to be. There's going to be resurrection. There will be a time in the future where things will be better. So just to review it that way as well. Now, as we move towards the end of the Aliyah, we notice that Hashem says, I will hide my face. But it's the second time He's going to hide His face. And this time comes after B'nai Yisrael has already started thinking about Shuvah. Why is He hiding His face then? Ramban says something which is very powerful and very apropos of the times we live in. Ramban says that yes, Hashem will first hide His face, and in the absence of Hashem's light, all kinds of terrible forms, all kinds of terrible punishments will find that void and take advantage of us and the world in the anarchy of the void of godliness. And then as we do teshuvah, as we have hiruhurei teshuvah, thoughts of teshuvah, at that point in time, Hashem will start reappearing, and then He'll slow down the process. So it looks like it's going to be a geula coming, it looks like the redemption is coming, and then Hashem will hide His face a second time. This time not as a punishment, but as a test. This will be a test to see, do we really want Hashem in our lives, or was it just because of the convenience of having Hashem in our lives? And sometimes the geula process will look like it's on the way, and then it'll grind to a stop. And that's the time we need to say we still want Hashem in our lives. Finally, last point in the perek is in this aliyah is the idea that Hashem says, "Atokis lochem es hashirazo." Let's write down the song. So, what is the song? Rashi says it refers to the next parasha, which is Ha'azino. Ha'azino is a song, which is also a warning about what's going to happen in the future. Vayishvan yisharun vayivat, that you should not get, you know, should not get too satiated and indulgent and lead to sin. So that's the antidote to what everything has been said now. However, Chazal said that this is the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. It's the last mitzvah in the Torah of writing down a Sefer Torah. It's a mitzvah upon every individual. How do we learn it out of this pasuk? Because the pasuk seems to be talking about a song. So the Ksava Kabbalah, Rav Yaakov Tziv Mecklenburg explains that this refers to the idea that everything up till now is included into the song. Meaning to say, you're supposed to write, Moshe, write everything up till and including all of this as well. And that's what's being said here, which also gives us a very fascinating insight into the Torah itself. Torah is viewed as a song. A song is not a bunch of facts. A song is something, when put together, is harmony, is something which gives life and fills in and illuminates a person's entire life. And that's what the Torah is meant to be as well, in calling it that. It's not just the words, not just the black of the letters, it's the spaces, the white around them, which also make the song, which make the Torah relevant and continually everlasting. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.